when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you precious Blood River Radio supporters and family members are. I want to welcome you to Blood River Radio. That's right, you're listening to Blood River Radio, and we are proudly syndicated all over creation by Liberty News Radio with Sam Bushman and Jay and Lizzie and the crew. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and this is in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, August the 30th, 2025. People, there's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. That's all there is to it. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. Never think that there is anything else. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, he gave up his soul. When the temple veil ripped from head to toe, I don't believe in the bottom of my heart, that was symbolic that you no longer needed a minister, a priest, anything else to come to God. Jesus Christ paid the price. You can go to Jesus Christ anytime on your own. That's it. If you know, this is a Christian radio show. It's what we're going to do today. I'm going to read a psalm, one of my favorite ones in the Bible, and then we're going to go straight to our precious other co-host, Will, from Texas, and he's going to take us to the prayer. So as you will, people, hang on to your seats. I'm going to say this quick prayer, this quick psalm. This is the 23rd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So people, like as promised, this is a Christian radio show. Now we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And Will is going to take us there. Go ahead, Will, my brother.
You bet. Everybody listening, go ahead and bow your heads. And gentlemen, if you're wearing your lid, go ahead and take it off. Father God, we come to the throne this afternoon with bended knee and humble hearts. And oh God, I just pray that this broadcast will reach willing ears. And Lord, that you will bless our work as we go through this hour. Father God, we, as servants to you, we just pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will go to my brother Eddie right now, and I pray that you will strengthen his body. Lord, fortify his soul. Keep him in this fight, oh God. And I just I pray that you will be with him in a very real healing way right now. Father God, for all of those that are listening to us, I pray, Lord, that if our brothers and sisters are out there and feeling infirmed, I pray the same for them, Lord, that you will reach them and touch them in a very real way. Lord, calm their minds, strengthen their bodies so that they can stay in this very real fight. Lord, for those that are donating to Blood River Radio, I pray, Lord, that it will come back to them 1,000 times fold. And Lord, that you will just bless all of the days of their life. For our enemies, Lord, I pray that they will be bound and they will be ground underneath our boots, Lord. We know that there is a perfect finished plan. We know what happens to the enemies. And Lord, we just pray for the strength of our people to endure to the end, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that hearts will be open, minds will be open, Lord, to the truth, and that we will rise like the mighty Phoenix, Lord, and just thresh out these satanic terrors, Lord, that call themselves something that they're not, and Lord, that we will do your work here on heaven until your return, or here on earth until your return. Lord, we love you, and we ask it in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much, and amen a thousand times there, Will. My brother did an excellent job. Also, people, yes, you know, we always honor our supporters. And this week we have Miss Buddy. Bless her, sweetheart. Talked to Miss Buddy just today. She's the precious widow of Mr. Buddy, who also supported us. He supported everybody and his mama. I tell you, Mr. Buddy supported everybody. He really did. And if it wasn't for Mr. Buddy, there would be no Blood River Radio. He's one of the many people that have kept us afloat. And now he's gone to see the Lord. Miss Buddy is continuing on. Bless her sweetheart. We also have our brother Jim of Washington State, the big fisherman. And he sent me pictures of a fish that he caught on vacation not long ago out there in the ocean. And they are something to behold, I promise you. He has a beautiful family. In fact, if I look over to the left, I'm looking at a picture of old Jim, his granddaughter, and his grandson-in-law, I guess you call it, because they got married. Also, we have old Biscuit. Biscuit just never dies. He says he never ceases to support us. Bless his heart. Mr. Biscuit has gone over the top and helped us do projects we have in the future. Also, have another quick announcement. Dennis, brother Dennis, and sister Pam Adams are back. They've been on about a 30-day cruise. They've just got back, I think, yesterday, the 20th. They might have got back the 26th. But anyway, they got back. I'm so glad that they got back safe and sound. They said they had a wonderful time in Norway, but they said that the Paris and London was kind of a disappointment. I know you can probably imagine why. People, before we go to our regular, before we go back to Will, I've got something to tell you. I went on the, we had Eliza Fletcher was the precious lady, mother of two or three. I forget how many kids she had. She was on a run, a Labor Day weekend of 2022, and she was attacked on Central Avenue here in Memphis by a feral black Negro, a serial felon who had already raped at knife point. Well, he kidnapped Eliza Fletcher, beat the hell out of her, beat her to pieces, took her over, raped her, took her over, shot her in the back of the head, and dumped her in a weed patch in South Memphis close to where I grew up. Dumped her there like she was a sack of damn garbage. And now that sorry son of a bitch is resting in jail. He escaped the death penalty. He'll be there being supported by you and me and other fellow taxpayers. He should be shot in the back of the damn head just like he did Eliza Fletcher. Anyway, I went to the, finish Eliza's run. Well, I went there yesterday. I was going to do the 16-mile run, getting it ready for the New York Marathon. But unfortunately, at mile 3.5, I had an attack of supraventricular tachycardia. And it's really weird. I was lying on the pavement of Union Avenue, Central Avenue, with my feet propped up, like you do when you have SVT. I have to go through this crap all the time. And what's amazing in Memphis, and I'll make this short, I guess this is like everywhere. This is the same thing. Only one person checked of the many people that passed me to see, hey, are you all right? Do you need help? It's just like you're a stump laying there or a rock in the road. But the people, this is a southern town in the what used to be called the Bible Belt. One person asked about me the whole time. And they couldn't have done anything anyway because I just said, no, I have to wait this out. The run lasted 52 minutes, the run of supraventricular tachycardia. Anyway, the moral of the story is, we'll do that as long as I live. I'll be running, doing the, finish Eliza's run. She was a precious lady. I knew, I saw her a few times in the running groups here in Memphis, but she was a lot younger than me and faster. And by serendipity, I met one of her college friends several years ago at my favorite coffee place. We've become fast friends. And but anyway, there was a very emotional experience. I know you people take an interest in Blood River Radio family, and that's why I thought I'd share that story with you. And now we have, we're going to bring in, we have a few minutes, about a minute and a half before the break. We're going to bring in Will, and Will is going to let us know pretty much what we're going to be doing the rest of this hour. Oh, one other thing. Second hour, Paul Fromm's going to come on. He's going to break down Charlottesville. We're ending up Charlottesville. We're ending the August of 2025 Memorial to Charlottesville. Paul Frum is going to give us the breakdown of Charlottesville second hour. And the bitter ender is going to be on with James Edwards. James Edwards is going to make an appearance on the third hour. He's going to be in with the bitter ender, and we're going to be signing out Charlottesville. And that's all we'll do for Charlottesville until next August, God willing, if I'm still alive. So anyway, over to you, Will. We got a few seconds before we go to the break, and just let us know what we're going to be doing, brother.
Yeah, when we come back from break, one of the things I want to talk about, Eddie, is what happened in Minneapolis with that Catholic school shooting and the person that was responsible for it. But really what I want to talk about is who is responsible for this whole trans nonsense and the craziness that has led up to where we are in this country as far as that is concerned. And I want to share some scripture about that and give a little history when we get back.
We'll be right back. As soon as we come back, break, you take off from that. We'll be right back, folks.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, as promised, we're going to go back to Will, and Will is going to take us off, and he's got a lot of dynamite stuff to cover. So without further ado, Mr. Will, continue on, brother.
You bet. Earlier this week, and you know, it's made international news, and certainly our listeners are going to know what happened up there. There was a another mass shooting up in Minneapolis, and in this instance, it was at a Catholic school, and the perpetrator, the cowardly perpetrator who killed themselves, was a transgender, what we used to call transvestites. They were someone psychologically disturbed, suffering from gender dysphoria. It was a biological male who thought he was a girl, who was the actor in this. And tragically, Eddie, this has happened many times over the last decade and a half, where there have been multiple mass shootings where the perpetrators have been these transgendered people suffering from gender dysphoria, which at one time was a psychological disorder that was diagnosed by psychiatrists and treated. And what I really want to talk about is not what everybody else wants to talk about, Eddie, about gun control or how this could have been prevented or any of that. What I want to talk about is the transgenderism And what is really at the root of this is this something, because it seems like here in America, this was just kind of thrust on us in the last decade or so, and it just sort of came out of nowhere. And what I want people to understand is this isn't the case. This is something that has been litigated in westernized culture more than once. And what I really want to drill down on is how it got here to the United States. And how the fact of it's nothing new. And I'm going to take us back to 1918, and I'm going to take us back to Germany and what was considered to be the Weimar Republic in Germany. The Weimar Republic went from 1918 to 1932. And what really happened in the Weimar Republic during this time was a huge influx of Eastern European Jews that moved into post-war, World War I, Germany. And what you saw was a huge change of culture. Germany was reeling from this war. Their economy was slow. The industries were slow. People had kind of given up hope. Attendance in church had dropped. And like they do, you saw the Jews move in and take advantage of this. The economy was terrible, so you saw a lot of pawnbrokers and bankers and people who practice usury come into Germany and start taking advantage of the Germans. What also happened, Eddie, was something that the German people had never experienced. And I'm going to be as delicate as I can on this. And I know we may have some families that are listening to this. And but what happened in Germany during this time was a huge influx of pornography and live sex shows and prostitution. And in the movies, they'll tell you that it was jazz clubs and that sort of thing. And that's not the case. It was these cabaret shows that were essentially just strip shows that were going on. And what you saw was just the perversion of what once was a very strong society in Germany as far as the nuclear family and families taking care of themselves. And there was a gentleman, and I use that term very loosely, Eddie, because he wasn't a gentleman at all, but there was a guy named Magnus Hirschfeld. And Magnus Hirschfeld was a German-born Jew that was born in 1868. And Magnus Hirschfeld, maybe at the time, arguably, it can be debated, was maybe the most dirty Jew that was alive. He was born to an Ashkenazi Jewish family in what was Pomerania, which was Prussia, which was Germany. And single-handedly, this fella came up with the idea of transvestites and transgenderism. And in 1918, he actually coined the phrase transvestite. And Eddie, he wrote the book. I'm not just saying that. He wrote the book on transgenderism and transvestite and started propagating this all through the German culture and all through the Weimar Republic. And really, really what this was is he took the homosexuals and said that he can cure them by pushing this transgender stuff throughout society. And what it did was create the modern idea of transgenderism. There is a book out there, Eddie. I just want to say, and the name of the book is The Jewish Domination of Weimar Germany. This was published some years ago, and there is a tremendous amount of information in there. And there is one quote there that I want to read out of it. And it said, "The man who took the principal lead in the field for undermining the morals of sexual life in Germany of the Germans was Magnus Hirschfeld." And if you go back and look at this guy, it doesn't matter, Eddie, if it was pornography or homosexuality. transgenderism, whatever it was, this guy was at the tip of the spear leading the push of normalizing this all through the German people and the German culture. And sadly, he was fairly successful at it. And it really, man, in the school systems, they started pushing this. In the university systems, especially, they started pushing this. Leading up to 1931, which Hirschfeld, who was a medical doctor, performed the first operation of sex, what do they call it, gender reassignment in Berlin, Germany. It all started with the Jews in the Weimar Republic in Germany. And something happened, Eddie, and I know you're going to know what it is. There in the late 30s, there began a huge push of politics that said, we're not going to do this anymore. And who was pushing that was a man named Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler, you know, we are told so many lies, and what I really want to drill down on this is there's nothing new about this, people. It's so doggone old that it rolled out of the Garden Eden on a homemade wooden hobby horse. This is the same perversion that has been going from the beginning by the serpent himself, the father of these Jews. And what Adolf Hitler rightfully did, Eddie, is, and I want to remind people, Adolf Hitler wasn't a military dictator that took over control of Germany by force. It's not like he rolled in tanks and deposed a leader and took control. Quite contrary, Adolf Hitler was elected by a landslide to the chancellorship of Germany because he ran on a platform of three things, Eddie, and that was no more immigrants, no more usury from the immigrants, and no more degradation of our moral structure in Germany. He said he was going to clean it up, and he was going to clean up the banking system. He was going to get rid of the filthy immigrants and the Bolsheviks, the communism, and he was going to do away with their culture that was destroying the minds of German youth. So having said that, when he was elected and when he took power, let me tell you what happened to Magnus Hirschfeld. Magnus Hirschfeld saw the writing on the wall, so to speak, and he got out of Dodge. He got out of Germany as fast as he could, and he landed in New York City, Eddie. He came to New York City, and he settled in with what they called the bohemian lifestyle there in Greenwich Village, and he started teaching. And as many of our listeners probably know, a lot of the so-called psychoanalysts that were changing psychology and psychiatry as we know it, that were Germans, and they came here and they brought their filth with them because they just weren't Germans. They were Jews from Germany, and they brought it here to the United States. It took root, Eddie, the way a lot of the Jewish propaganda does, and now here we are 90 years later, and we're dealing with it. It has infiltrated our schools. It's infiltrated our school systems. It's infiltrated our social systems. It's infiltrated our medical systems. And it's all on purpose, Eddie, just like the Jews did in Germany. They're doing it here in the United States, and we are seeing the fruit of it with just these numerous transgendered acts of violence. Eddie, I don't know what to say other than these are just crazy people that are running amongst us. And maybe what's even more crazy are those people that are in so-called authority that are telling us we have to accept it. That's kind of a lot of information in a short amount of time, but there's a few more things I'd like to say about it, if you don't mind, Andy.
Sure. I'd just like to back up. If you'd like to go, this is well documented, what Will has told you. Biscuit sent me some stuff from the Goyim Defense League, and one of them is, and you can pull it up for yourself, people. If you go to the Goyim Defense League, you can pull all these documents up that backs up what Will said for 100%. In fact, I sent Will one just a minute ago. One of them is every single aspect of the LGBTQ movement is Jewish. And
You can go to, like I say, go to the Going to Vince League, pull that up. And with people, we got to go to a break right now. We'll come back. We'll cover this more as soon as we come back from break. So hang on to your seats, people. Be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. Missouri's Republican governor is calling a special legislative session to redraw the state's U.S. House districts. The announcement yesterday by Governor Mike Kehoe comes as President Trump has been urging Republican-led states to reshape district lines to give the party a better shot at retaining control of Congress in next year's elections. A new Congressional Budget Office report indicates that tariffs could reduce the national debt by $4 trillion over the next decade.
A new report released Friday from the Congressional Budget Office states, quote, "We project that increases in tariffs implemented during the period from January 6th, 2025 to August 19th, 2025 will decrease primary deficits by $3.3 trillion if the higher tariffs persist for the 2025 to 2035 period." CBO's Director Philip Swagel wrote, quote, "By reducing the need for federal borrowing, those tariff collections will also reduce federal outlays for interest by an additional $0.7 trillion. As a result, the changes in tariffs will reduce total deficits by $4 trillion altogether." Bernie Bennett reporting.
John Rumpler says nearly two-thirds of beaches tested nationwide last year experienced at least one day in which indicators of contamination reached potentially unsafe levels.
I think what we can safely say is that every year we have found that all too often there are pathogens in the water that can make people sick where we want to go swimming. So there's really a need for us to take action and protect public health and clean water.
AAA spokeswoman Aisha Dais says there aren't as many people traveling this Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend, you know, it's the end of summer, and some people may just be ready to get into their fall routines and may not want to travel. Now, what a lot of people do over Labor Day weekend is take a short road trips or maybe even staycations.
Labor Day celebrates the American worker with the holiday honored the first Monday of September. More on these stories
at townhall.com. Living with everyday pain is like having a voice that always says, no, no, you can't do that. You can't go there. You can't play your favorite sport. You better sit this one out. It's no way to live. If pain is affecting you, see how Relief Factor can help you get back to living life again on your terms. One where you say yes a whole lot more. Head over to ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by a team of doctors and scientists, Relief Factor's unique formula of natural ingredients doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or eliminate it for good. Whether it's your back, neck, your joints, your muscles, Relief Factor can help you, as it has for so many others. Give Relief Factor's 3-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, a low-cost way for you to sort of take it out for a test drive. Less than a dollar a day. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF. See how you could live with less pain, and you can say yes to more of everything you want with Relief Factor.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. Without wasting any more time, we're going to go back to our precious brother, Will. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, Eddie, after what we were talking about before the break, I just wanted to go back and reiterate that the destruction of the church in Germany during the Weimar Republic was a very real thing. To give you an idea, about 75% of Germany at that time claimed to be Christian. They called themselves Protestant Christians, and about 22% were Roman Catholic. At that time, according to census data, less than 1% of the population was Jewish in Germany. It was 0.9%. But the toxicity of that serpent's bite was able to turn that type of population, 75% Christian, Protestant Christian, in a nation as strong as Germany, and was able to turn them to the point of when, in 1933, when Adolf Hitler's party took control of the government, it was only about 35% of those people who had said they were Protestant Christians were attending church. Now, I want to talk about the United States. I want to talk about America, and I want to talk about the Judeo-Christian church. You know, you hear people, and a lot of people will think we're crazy, Eddie, when we start talking about the Scofield Bible and what Scofield did and the fact that Scofield was underwritten by a Jew. And the infiltration of America's theological institutions, what happened when we corporatized American Christianity and the gospel and started taking it to the pulpits, and the dumbing down and the watering down of Jesus Christ's gospel. Well, that's the same thing that happened in Germany is happening here. If you want to know why there's rampant transgenderism and homosexuality and that sort of thing, well, it's as simple as this is what the Jews do. They got into the institution of the church, this Judeo-Christian church, and they have convinced monetarily and through power and through influence American pastors to say silly things like, that's the old covenant. The Old Testament is the old covenant. We don't have to believe those things anymore because Jesus came and there's a new covenant. Well, Eddie, what Jesus said was he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And one of the books of law in the Bible is the book of Leviticus. And I'd like to tell you what Leviticus 20:13 says. Leviticus 13 says, if a man lies with a male, he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They surely shall be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, what a Judeo-Christian pastor will tell you, Eddie, is that's the Old Testament. That's been thrown out the window like the bathwater. That's not something that we live under anymore because Jesus came and abolished all that. Now, I'll remind you of what Jesus said. He said he came to abolish no law. He came to fulfill the law. As a matter of fact, after Jesus' death, his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome, let's see what he had to say.
I was hoping you'd get there.
So what the Apostle Paul said is, for this reason, God gave them up to their vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise,
you go, brother.
The men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is death. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness,
yes,
full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-minded. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, investors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Now, that seems like that came after Jesus.
It's plain to me, brother.
If Jesus abolished that, it's kind of weird to me. It's funny, Eddie, that the Apostle Paul would need to write that to the church in Rome. And if you think it was just one example in the church of Rome, Eddie, that's not correct. In the First Corinthians, Paul writing to the Corinthians there said, or do you not know, this is 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the habitually drunk, nonverbal abusers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that seems pretty plain to me. You know, I'm just a poor old white boy from Georgia that was educated in the public school system. But I think I can throw some thoughts together from time to time. And these Judeo-Christian cucks that have gone through the Schofield infiltrated juries, really is all they are, theological seminaries, when they get into the pulpit and they take their pieces of silver and they tell you things like that's an old covenant. Well, just remember, folks, get in your Bible. That's the sword of Christ. That is part. You can't put the full armor of God on, Eddie, without that word. And if we get into our word, we realize we're being lied to, folks. What they're telling us on Sunday mornings is a bunch of hogwash. If you think that Jesus Christ didn't come to fulfill that law just the way the red letters in the New Testament, Eddie, pay attention to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said. Those red letters tell the story. Jesus Christ called a spade a spade. He told us who the Jews were. He told us what they were going to do. He told us that we had to be wary of them. And he told us where these godless, transgendered homosexuals belong, that the penalty for such things is death. He came to fulfill the law that was written in Leviticus, and it is said time and time again in the New Testament, the exact same thing. And I know we're coming to a break, Eddie, and I want to get started in this, so I'm going to try to finish this up real, real fast, because I know we're going to have some things to talk about on the other side. I want
one quick comment. I had my brothers, when tell people I'm a recovering Baptist, they talked about they put their confidence in that old Schofield Bible. Well, people, do you know when that old Schofield, ancient old Schofield Bible was written? 1909. That's 1909. So it hasn't been around that long. And everything you say is correct. And by the way, I have a book I've ordered called Schofield, that remarkable Schofield and his Bible, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I just thought I would interject that. People might think, you know, the King James, what, 1611 or something like that. And you have Bibles older than that. But they'll talk about their old Schofield. The damn thing just came around right before World War One. But you were so right about those stinking Jews. I was going to read a scripture here, but I want to interrupt because you're on such a roll. I don't want to interrupt what you're doing. Go ahead, brother. You're on a roll, buddy.
I'm going to try to get this out before the break, Eddie. I'm going to do my doggonest, but I want folks to realize this. Everybody that's listening, you know, and you put your tie on, you put your jacket on, you go to church, you feel good about yourself, maybe go eat at Cracker Barrel, and that's a whole other story, Sunday after church, and you think you're doing right. And we call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves the followers of Christ. And I want to talk to you about what Christ did. And I want to talk to you about the house of David from which Christ came from. Eddie started off reading Psalm 23, and I want to read you just one verse out of Psalm 144. And this is from David, a man after God's own heart. Remember that. David was called a man after God's own heart. And what David starts off in Psalm 144 in verse 1, David says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Now,
yes.
The house of David is where Jesus was descended from. And this is what David, a warrior for Christ, don't forget the young David who slew the bear, the young David who slew the lion, the young David that when those grown men were, their knees were knocking and they were, you know, pissing their pants. David took his sling and three rocks and said, you know, I'll stand up. I'll face that giant. And a lot of people, you know, Eddie, I'll just make a comment. I'm going to make my point. A lot of people, you know, when I like to ask people, how many rocks, how many stones did David have when he slew Goliath? And people say three. And I said, you're wrong. It was five. He had one in his sling, two in his pouch, and two more where it counts. He had rocks that he was willing to stand up and say, I'll do it. I'm not afraid. I got the stones. I'll do that. And so when we talk about Psalm 144 and David saying, blessed be the Lord who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle, I want to quickly jump to John 2. And
we're going to do that right at this break. Right at this break right here, we'll go right back to this. People, we're going to go to the last break of the first hour. We'll be right back after this break, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with managed IT services.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for hanging out. One quick scripture. It's just short, and I'll go right back to Brother Will. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the father of it. And he was speaking to the Jew. That's Jesus Christ. Don't go and tell me what your pastor says or what some other TV evangelist says about the Jews. This is what Jesus Christ says about your Jews, Will. And after all, we got the name of our Christian after this guy named Jesus Christ called Christianity. And that's exactly what he told the Jews, because they would not believe him. They would not trust him. They're not obey him. They are their father, the devil. And they're the ones wreaking all this hell on us right now. And back to you, Brother Will, because you were on fire, brother.
You bet. And going right along with what Eddie was saying there, I'm about to tie this, or try to attempt to tie this together, God willing. I'm going to go back just again, because I think it bears repeating. that psalm where David said, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle."
Amen.
And I think people, if this ever does get preached, which I would challenge anybody to listen, you show me a church bulletin where that was the text for a sermon, and I'll buy you a ribeye somewhere when we meet up. I guarantee
I'll buy you two of them.
Preached on. Yeah, in the last 100 years, probably. But what is the significance of that as far as Jesus Christ is concerned? And I think that's what I want to drill down on for just these last couple minutes we have, Eddie, is blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Now, when we came back, Eddie just told you what Jesus Christ had to say about the Jews. Jesus Christ called them out for what they were. Called them of their father Satan, that they were the children of the devil. They were doing his work. Well, where were they doing the work in the contemporary time of Jesus? Well, they were doing it in the temple. And I want to tell you what Jesus Christ did. This is coming out of John 2, verse 14. And it says, "And within the temple grounds, he found those that were selling oxen, sheep, doves, and the money changers seated at their table." Pay attention, people. Verse 15. "And he made a whip of cords and drove them out of the temple area." Now, I want you to stop and think about this. It didn't say that he brought one with him. It didn't say that he snatched it out of the back pocket of somebody. It said that he made a cord. He made a whip of cords. He fashioned a whip out of cords. Folks, I've never made a whip out of cords. I don't know how long it would take, but I will tell you this. It had to take some time of when Jesus sat down or stood up and gathered up the materials and fashioned together. And while doing so, you know, he had to be thinking that it was time for him to be about his father's business. You see, you're going to be told in your Sunday morning pulpits that Jesus is love and that Jesus loves everybody. And Jesus loves you. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus does love you. He loves you so much that he was willing to fashion a whip out of cords to drive the dirty Jews out of the temple. And what do
Bingo.
You do in following? What do you do to thank and repay the Savior of all mankind? You welcome them in every Sunday morning with your Judeo-Christian horse crap. That is how you repay our Savior, that you welcome in this diluted, perverted message of the gospel. Jesus drove them out. With righteous anger, he was about his father's business. Are you about your father's business? And Eddie, I don't know of a better way of saying it, but I'll tell you, everything that we've talked about up to this point, the homosexuals, the transgenderism, the mass shooting, whatever, this is because we have abdicated our authority given to us by the Savior of all mankind, Jesus Christ, to be about our Father's business, not how a preacher tells us to do it, but how Jesus Christ himself did it. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, you go back to the house of David. You listen to what David told us. David said, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who prepares me for battle, who made my hands, who made my fingers for battle." Jesus Christ knew this. He knew what David said, and he did his father's business. He did what needed to be done. No more talking. It was time for action. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus left us with a commandment, Eddie. The last command that Jesus had to his people before he went and died on that cross was to arm ourselves. He told Peter, "Now is not the time to sheathe your sword, but if you don't have a weapon, you sell your cloak and you buy one." Well, Eddie, I'm going to go back to what I said before. I'm just a poor white kid that grew up in Georgia in the public schools, but I'm going to tell you, if Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind, told me to sheathe my sword, now is not the time, well, that tells me there's a time coming. And if it was so important that the last thing Jesus told us was to sell our garment and arm ourselves, and I'm going along with what he told. I'm telling you, Eddie, I'm kind of to the point of where I believe that's pretty important. What do you think?
I think that time is here, brother. I really do. It's always been here.
Go ahead. Well, what I want to say is, folks, there is coming a time. God made us to be workers. We are not made to be bench sitters. We're not made to straddle fences. Jesus clearly told us through John the Revelator in the book of Revelation that there will come a time in the great judgment where he will say, you were neither hot nor cold. You were lukewarm. I never knew you. I spit you out of my mouth. Well, Eddie, he's not talking up to the hell's angels there or to some saintness. We know who those people are. Those are the people that are cold towards God. Who he's talking about are the bench warmers that on Sunday morning go into these Judeo-Christian churches and they practice church. They play church like they're playing doctor as a kid. It's just all pretend. They're not listening to the real gospel of what Jesus told us. And that is who he's going to spew out of his mouth, Eddie, are these Judeo-Christians who are just for a little bit of comfort and a little bit of prosperity are willing to forgo what Jesus Christ commanded us to do. And just like Jesus went into that temple, Eddie, just like he fashioned a whip out of those cords, and just like he drove out those Jews who were perverting his father's house, that is what we are commanded to do, Eddie. That is what Jesus Christ, our King, commanded us to do. And folks, there is always an antithesis. There's always an opposite. And if the enemy is the Jew and they are the soldiers of Satan, then we are the antithesis of that. If you call yourselves a Christian, you need to be a soldier for Christ. You need to be always prepared and ready to act, just like Jesus Christ gave you the example to do.
You know, brother, you're on fire. I'm so glad you're here. I really am. You know, the Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I've said this a few times, when Alexander Solzhenitsyn came over here, probably the last time he ever visited the United States, he said, this ties right in what you're saying. He said that the one thing that glared after him in the West, in the UK, and especially the United States, when he gave his speech, I don't remember where he gave it, I would just say University of Chicago, he said, it was courage. He said that the men in the West were just so docile and beat down and timid, and I'll say effeminate. You are so right. And that's not what Jesus, you're right on, brother. Jesus didn't command us to be timid and effeminate. He did command us to be warriors for him, just like King David. And you're preaching the things I've told my people so many times. We have to be warriors for Christ. And we're about to run out of time, but I'm just looking at a thing from American Freedom News. It says, trans propaganda merchandise encourages violence to protect trans kids, kill fascists. It says, trans propaganda merchandise encourages violence to protect trans kids. And it says, kill fascists. There's even left-wing Democratic politicians coming out and wearing merchandise like this, merchandise with big knives, with AR-15s, all kinds of weapons, encouraging people to protect trans kids. They're getting ready to kill us, people. They're doing it in right now, even as we speak. We didn't get time to cover that faggot going in, that trans faggot shooting up that church as well in depth, but that happens every day. But it's really not covered in there like it is. But you know what? In a nutshell, what you said, Will, we do need to get prepared. And you know what? The people of the West do need to get courage. So many of our people, I keep hearing, oh, we're getting awake, we're getting awake. What the hell is just being awake? I'm awake, Will's awake. Who the hell is not awake? It's time to take this awakeness and get some action and really do what it takes. And we're going to have to fight back sooner or later. But in closing, I'd say Alexander Solzhenitsyn was right, Will, two sides. There's a lack of courage in the United States and men in the West. And the Judeo-Christian churches, Will, I don't know if they're ever going to be awakened up to the truth of the gospel. But, Will, thank you so much for coming on. You did an amazing job, brother. Now people are going to transition to the second hour. Paul Flom is going to come on, and he's going to dissect Charlottesville. So we'll be right back, folks. Get your cup of coffee. This is a long break, 4 or 5 minutes. So hang on. Come on back, people, 4 or 5 minutes. Don't be late.